Amen. The portion of Scripture for meditation this morning is recorded for us in the second book of Kings, chapter 4, beginning with the 42nd verse. This is our first letter for today, this 10th Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, you don't really see him up here in Standish, but a few in Bay City and in Saginaw, and especially in bigger places like Flint, and especially in Detroit. The homeless, bums, beggars, those without much, they don't even have a roof over their heads or a bed to sleep in, maybe just one set of clothes. What are they doing? They're usually sitting on the side of the road with a sign looking for help, or maybe a cup. They're sitting on the street looking for a handout. May not see too many homeless people up in Standish, but I don't think you have to go into any detail when I say that the economy isn't the best up here in Arundel County. Sure, there are parts of the country that seem to be doing better, but overall in Michigan, and especially in our area, the economy is still struggling, and because of that, we still get regular calls for the church number on about 4 or 5 times a month. Someone looking for a handout. Sometimes it's not much, maybe a tank of gas for them to get down south to see some family members. Maybe it's people looking for some free food, or especially in winter, it's a little bit more. Usually in the winter, it's they want us to pay their electric bill, or their pay for a tank of propane for them to keep warm during the winter. What do you usually do in situations like that? What do you do when someone calls you looking for some free handout, looking for some money to buy food or looking for money to keep warm during the winter? What do you do when you see someone on the street asking for money? Or perhaps you're going into Bay City on 25 and you're stopped at that light in front of Euclid and you see one of those homeless men there with a sign. What do you usually do? When our text for today took place, it also was a hard economic time. It was a famine. A few chapters later, we hear about a famine that is going on for 7 years. It could be the same famine. Very few people had enough food to eat, let alone enough things to share with others. And here was Elisha, the prophet. And he had 100 people with him. Now, we are not exactly sure who these people were. They could have been prophets from the school of prophets throughout Israel. Or they could have just been followers of the Lord, believers in the Lord, who had followed this true prophet instead of many false prophets in Israel during that time. But they were hungry. A similar situation we see in our gospel for today. A large group of people, 5,000 men, not counting women and children, had followed Jesus to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a remote, desolate place, not close to any town, to buy food. And they were hungry, and it was getting late. So what were Jesus and the disciples to do? Let them fend for themselves? Let them all go hungry? Or find some way to feed them? What would you do in a situation like that if you were Jesus and the disciples, if you were Elisha and others? What do you do? Perhaps what you often do when you see someone begging on the street or when someone calls you looking for a handout. You see someone on the street, you put your head down, you walk past them, often acting like they're not there. If they're on the road, you roll up your window and turn up the radio and pretend they're not there. And you have good reasons not to help out those who beg for money or those who ask you personally for money. Many people are homeless because of their own mistakes. Many people are homeless because maybe they're drunkards or they're druggies. Those call you looking for money, Sometimes they call you on their cell phone, so you kind of question whether they have money or not. Or there's those who may not have enough money for food, but that's because they wasted on drugs or alcohol or scratch-offs or what have you. So you question their motives. But instead of giving to them, instead of giving them the benefit of the doubt, sometimes you prove that they're actually in need and that their motives are true and that they won't waste the money you give them. And you say to yourself, you know, it's your own fault anyway. It's not my fault that they didn't plan. It's not my fault that they wasted their life away. It's not my fault that they're addicted to this or that and are spending all their money. I was smart. I saved my money. I was good with my money. I got a good job. I've worked hard for my money. Why should I have to suffer? Why should I have to give away what I have worked hard for to someone who's just going to waste it anyway? With reasons like that, we keep our money to ourselves and not give it to someone in need. Which reminds me of what John says in chapter 3 of his first letter. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? And then we see examples from our lessons for today. We see the example of the man from Baal Shalisha. Somehow he knew that Elisha was there with 100 people and that they were hungry. So during this famine, during this hard economic time, he brought 20 loaves of barley bread along with grain, fresh grain. The first fruits he brought to Elisha, the man of God, and he gave it to Elisha and he said, "Here, take the best of what I have to offer and give it to the people to eat." Which is what Elisha did. Or consider the boy in our gospel. Thousands upon thousands of people listening to Jesus, and it seems as if only one boy had any food. Only one had planned to bring food along with him to this desolate place. This perhaps for him and his family, 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And he gave it to Jesus and his disciples. The point is that this man from Baal Shalisha and this boy by the Sea of Galilee didn't make excuses. They didn't withhold what they had because they had actually planned, because they had enough and no one else planned ahead. No, they willingly gave what they had. They knew that God had given them more than they needed, so they gave to those in need. The same should be said of us. Despite the hard times that we may have faced, despite the economy, all of us are still richly blessed. To my knowledge, no one here has slept out on the streets. No one here has not been able to buy food and has gotten hungry. No one here has never not had a bed to sleep in. We all have things. God graciously and daily provides for all our basic needs, and we all have things that we don't need. We have things today that people to a generation or two ago never even dreamed of. Multiple cars in the driveway. A TV in almost every room. Tablets, cell phones. We can go on and on. But you might just say, I wish I can give to others. I wish I can give to those in need. But I just can't afford it because of all the bills I have to pay. But look at some of the bills and consider some of the bills that we pay for nowadays. Take 3, for example. Cable TV, internet, and cell phones. 3 things that people a generation and a half ago never even heard of. But today they're considered necessities. You add those 3 bills up, maybe it's $150, $200 or more a month. Often it's not that we don't have the money. It's the things that we choose to buy, the things that we choose to pay for, and then we don't have enough to help those in need. The truth is that the Lord has blessed us in numerous ways. He has given us not only the necessities, but things that people not too long ago never even dreamed of. Things are better now than they ever have been before. God is a gracious and loving God, generous to us beyond measure. And He is generous to us not only so that He can give to us. He's generous to us so that He can give through us. When God gives to us so abundantly and so graciously, it's not so that we can have everything for our own, but so that we can give to others, so that we can take care of those who might not have as much as us, who might struggle to make ends meet. So we do the best we can to take care of the gifts God has given us, to plan for our future, and to take care of others. But still, you might balk a little bit. I'm just not sure how much I can afford to give to someone who I think is going to waste it anyway. You know, what if my car breaks down? What if a loved one ends up in the hospital? Or what if I lose my job? I've given some of my money away, and then I don't have anything else to fall back on. I just don't think I can do it right now. And with excuses like that, again, we fail to give to others in need. And while we certainly do want to plan for the future and use God's gifts to the best of our abilities, we use that as a crutch, as an excuse. But often when it comes down to it, one of the reasons why we fail to help those in need is because we fail to trust God. We put our faith in our own planning and the money in our own bank account. We put our faith in other things. We don't trust God to take care of us and provide for us. We worry about the future and think that our stability in the future depends on our planning and not on the God who gives us everything anyway. And we aren't alone. Think of Elisha's servant. When that man brought 20 loaves of bread and said, "Here, give it to the people," Elisha's servant said, How can I set this before 100 men? Or the disciples in the feeding of the 5,000. Philip wasn't thinking about Jesus' power. He simply said, "You know, I don't think we have enough money. Not even 8 months' wages will give one person a bite to eat." Or Andrew, when he said, "Well, here's a boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. How far can they go among so many?" They fail to believe or think even about the power of the Lord. But of course, you know what happened. The Lord caused those 20 loaves of bread to multiply. The 100 sat down, they ate, they had their fill, and there was still some left over. Over 800 years later, a same miracle, and yet to a greater extent. 5,000 men, not counting women and children, there could have been 10, 15,000 people there, all ate 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. They all ate and had their fill. And there are 12 basketfuls left over. The Lord has power to do whatever He wants. He can give you whatever is in His heart He wants to give you. If He can feed 100 with 20 loaves of bread, if He can feed 5,000 plus with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish, He can do whatever He wants. He can give you everything in the world or nothing. And He wants to bless you. And He promises to bless you. He promises to bless you and take care of you. Again and again, He says that He will provide for your every need. Throughout the scripture, it gives us such promises. We think of our second lesson for today. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. The Lord promises to take care of you with earthly blessings. But it's not just earthly blessings. Whether or not God has richly provided for you on this earth, or whether or not you struggle to make ends meet on a monthly basis, you are rich. God has given you a gift worth far more than anything else on the face of this earth. Worth far more than any amount of gold or silver. It's something that can't be bought with all the precious stones in the world. It's your salvation. The forgiveness of sins, perfect life, the eternal life that He has given to you. Purchased and won for you by the shedding of the innocent, precious, and holy blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was on the cross that He paid for your sins and gave you that gift of eternal life through His resurrection from the dead. Because He who was rich and became a poor human being suffered and died for you, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich and enjoy all the glories and riches of heaven. His gift of salvation has been given to you for free, received through faith, also a gift from God. The Lord has richly blessed you with spiritual blessings, with eternal blessings, with earthly blessings. And is this love of Christ that leads us to show love to others? And we don't have to be afraid of showing love to others. We don't have to be afraid of taking care of those in need or worrying about what the future holds for us, because God promises to take care of us and He promises to bless us the more we give to others. No one has ever said, I really can't make ends meet anymore because I've given too much to other people. In the book of Malachi, the Lord essentially dares us to be generous in our giving. He dares us to give more to others. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, the Lord says, the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. When we use our first fruits to give to the Lord and give to others, the Lord promises to bless us even more. So we have nothing to worry about because He is always going to provide for every need. And then some. You know, I heard a story once about a Wells professor who was investigated by the IRS because they had doubted what he wrote on his tax return. They doubted that he had given so much in his charitable donations. And, of course, as it turns out, this Wells professor was not lying. He really did give that much, and the IRS agents left flabbergasted and impressed that someone could be so generous in their giving. Kind of a sad story, one way you look at it, that more people aren't so generous, that it's so out of the ordinary for someone to give so much, and yet is also an example for us to follow. May we be so willing to give to the Lord and give to others, so that other people may be impressed by how much we show our love of Christ. The Lord richly provides for us. Not only provides for us, not only does He give to us, but He gives through us. So we gladly and willingly use our earthly blessings to give back to Him, to spread His gospel, and to give to others in their time of need. so that they may see the love of Christ in us and give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.